All right. Well, it's a pleasure to be here, and it's a pleasure to come to a church, and your preacher has been so gracious to us and our family, and I tell you what, this has just been a wonderful church to be a part of and to be a part of your big day. And that's another perk of this type of ministry. We're here for the big days. We're here for the eight baptisms, and we're here for the big events and the mountaintop experiences that will happen in a church. And we're not here during the church splits. We're not here during the fighting and the arguing and things like that. But I don't think that happens here. But God's been gracious and good to us in this ministry. And we're so happy to be here. And we thank you for having us. Now, I heard that there was somebody from Waterloo here today. Is there somebody from Waterloo? Brother, man, I tell you what, that's awesome. I'm from Cedar Rapids, just south of you, and so it's good. You can later on, you can buy me a steak after the service here. That's going to be great. But we appreciate being here. And so, if you want to take your Bibles, turn over to Luke. The title of the sermon is a little odd. I'm just going to tell you, it's a little odd. It's called "Speak to the Trees." Speak to the Trees. And it'll make sense to you afterwards, and if it doesn't, you can talk to my wife. She writes all my sermons, and she could probably better explain it. I'm just kidding. But Luke chapter 17, we're going to start here in verse 3. We're just going to read four verses here. But this is a passage. It deals with a situation that may not necessarily run rampant in churches, but it's something that can creep into churches. It's a situation that, and we as Christians, we like to put on a good front. We like to put on a good face and smile and shake people's hand and tell them how great God is. But in our hearts, sometimes we can have things crop up that we probably aren't going to expose. There's church members I know that if you shake their hand, you don't want to ask them how they're doing, right? You want to say, "Hey, it's good to see you," right? And I don't know if I've said "good to see you" or "how are you doing today," but hopefully, I'm not making any judgments today, but sometimes people will tell you exactly how they're doing and all the problems in their life and who's doing what and who has a problem with who. And so I want to talk today a little bit about this subject, and it's called "Speak to the Trees." So if you would, Luke chapter 17, and I'm going to start in verse 3. It says here, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, 'I repent,' thou shalt forgive him." And the apostles said unto the Lord, "Increase our faith." Now, I've read through this many times, and I thought, wow, that's an odd thing to say, increase my faith. And so, going on here, it says, "And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, 'Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you.'" So we see here we have the disciples. Jesus is telling them, if a man trespass against you, just forgive them. And if he does it seven times a day, forgive him. Just keep forgiving him. And then all of a sudden, the apostles say, well, increase our faith. And then the Lord, it sounds like it's a different exposition here with the Lord going on about faith, the grain of the mustard seed and the sycamine tree. And so it kind of takes a different, if you're just casually reading through the Bible, this could look a little strange. And this thought of forgiving someone was troubling to the disciples. And seven times I should be quick to forgive. But, many people will say, "Oh, you don't understand the trespass here, Brother Nelson. I've been transgressed against. I've been wronged. I've been taken advantage of." And Peter even goes on, he went as far as to think that seven times was the limit. But let's go ahead and pray here this evening, and we'll begin the service here. Lord, again, we thank you for today. Lord, I pray that you'll be with my thoughts and with my heart today. And Lord, we've had a wonderful day. We've seen people baptized, and we've seen just a wonderful things transpire with a VBS program. And Lord, I just pray that you'll just be with us tonight. And Lord, again, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, later on here in Matthew 18, verse 21, it says, "Then came Peter to him and said, 'Lord, How oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? And verse 22 says, Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And I'm sure Peter, you know, he's a fisherman. He's probably doing the math. Okay, carry the two, subtract seven, add four. 490 times. And what the Lord was trying to say is revealed here is Peter, it doesn't matter how many times people transgress against you, you need to forgive them and have the faith to be able to do that. And it's interesting to be able to put this thing of faith in here because, and you'll see here in just a moment how we contrast the two. And now notice there was a sycamine tree involved here, right? And it says the Lord here in verse 6, if you had the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now, I'm not sure if there was an actual sycamine tree there, or if he was just, you know, imagine if there was a sycamine tree, you could take this, and if you had the faith that you're asking for, that you want increased in your life, you could take this sycamine tree and cast it, tell it to go into the sea, and it would do so. And now there's a physical sycamine tree or a philosophical or metaphorical meaning here, and there's many multiple applications that people can get out of the text here tonight. But the disciples asked Jesus to increase their faith. But what Jesus said is, you really don't need more faith for forgiving. You don't really need more faith for that. That's actually pretty simple. What you really need is faith for is to deal with that thing that's inside of you that troubles you and will hinder you from becoming truly fruitful. And use the illustration of the sycamine tree. Like many things Christ taught, the disciples didn't always pick up right away. And you know, that's kind of a breath of fresh air sometimes. You know, when the disciples hear the people who were actually walking and talking with Jesus don't always get what he was saying. You know what? There's many times I've read through this and didn't quite get what he was saying here either. And so it's kind of refreshing for to see the disciples are a lot like us. And we don't often get things the first time. But they asked for him to increase their faith. And they didn't quite always pick up right away the true depth and meaning of what the heart of the matter the Lord was discussing. The sycamine tree is a tree, from what I've learned and studied here, is that bears fruit very prolifically. It bears fruit a lot, and you can get a lot of fruit from it. And it's technically edible, especially back in the Bible days. It was not it was edible, but it was something that you really didn't want to eat necessarily because make a steady diet of, because it was a very bitter fruit. And through genetics and things like that, they've made it a lot sweeter. But back then, it was a very bitter fruit to eat. And Jesus said what you need is not necessarily the faith to forgive, rather what you really need is the faith to uproot that sycamine tree that is growing inside of you. The root of bitterness and the bitter fruit of unforgiveness that is constantly dropping its fruit in your life. And you eat it, and you eat it, and you become more and more bitter and more bitter. Bitterness and forgiveness does not mix, folks. Bitterness and forgiveness does not mix, and we need to pray that God removes it out of our life. You know, I have a riding mower. It's a zero turn mower, and I love this mower. I love it. It's fun. Sometimes I'll kick the kids off if I have the time. I will go out and mow. And but imagine this mower. I don't know if you maybe this is more of an illustration for us men. You know, we have things that we like and we enjoy and we want to take care of, right? And this thing is 60-inch deck. I can mow an acre in under 30 minutes and 14 miles an hour. If you can hang on, 14 miles an hour, it can mow. And it's got electric lift. The deck goes up and down just by toggling a button. And cup holders. Yeah, it's called a Bad Boy mower, right? And I even like the name Bad Boy, you know. And it's not a Skag or a yard boss or something like that. It's a Bad Boy, and I like this mower. And I wash the mower, and it's enjoyment for me. Now imagine if I take this item that I love and I like, and one day the neighbor pops over and says, "Hey man, my mower broke. Can I borrow your mower?" And of course, as a good Christian, you say, sure, brother, just take it. Just be careful with it. This is how you run it. This is how you use it. Just be careful with it. And your neighbor heads on out with the mower, and of course you're inside your house, creeping through the window, looking. Oh, he didn't even pick up his yard. What in the world? And he's mowing along, and all of a sudden he hits something major, and the mower starts shaking and vibrating, and he says, he brings it back over and says, "Hey man, I hit something. I don't know what happened." They never do, right? And I don't know what happened, but your mower doesn't work anymore. And here you go. I'm sorry about that. And as a good Christian, we put on a good face and say, "Oh, you know, that's not a problem. I'm sure it's something that I can fix, and I'll get to that. That's not just leave it over here in the driveway. That'll be just fine." And so that's the end of the day. But you know what? The next day happens, right? And you see your neighbor, and of course you wave, but in your heart you're thinking, "Ah, oh, that's the guy. That's the guy who broke my mower." Now, yesterday, you've released your neighbor from his debt. You have exercised biblical forgiveness by the book, and it actually feels kind of good at first, right? But then you see your neighbor the next week. Your mower is still broken, and you got to figure out how to buy parts online, and it's not making sense, and you got a broke mower, and you're still dealing with the problem, but here you have a sycamine root growing in your heart against your neighbor. That sycamine tree has taken root, and the bitter fruit has started to bear, and you look at your neighbor and smile, and every time you encounter him, you know, of course, you're saying, "Oh, that's the guy. He broke my mower, and he didn't even pay me. He didn't even offer to pay me." And notice how Christ said here, he said, "Say unto that sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea." He said, you are the one who will have to do the talking. You know why? We have to be the ones to tell that sycamine root that starts growing, that bitterness inside of us. We have to talk to that tree and tell it to be removed and get out. Because that tree will do a lot of talking to us. And it's a great talker. It replays that narrative over and over and over about the mower. In fact, right now, I bet you there's people right now thinking of a narrative in their head about someone who has wronged them. Someone who has dealt a reversal in your life. And you're thinking about that person, thinking, "Oh, but Brother Nelson, you don't know what this guy did to me. You don't know what she did to me. You don't know what she said to me." Oh, the bitter fruit is starting to fall. You know, the faith Christ was talking about was not the simple act of forgiveness. But he was speaking to the faith that it takes to uproot and cast away that sycamine tree that grows in each and every one of us when we feel slighted or wronged. That's the faith that we need. That's when we need that faith. And you say, "Faith for what, Brother Nelson? What are you getting at here?" Faith in the realization that, here, listen to this. Number one, love is more powerful than bitterness. Love is more powerful than bitterness. You know, years ago, back in the 80s, I grew up my dad was a cabinet maker and owned Nelson Cabinets. He still owned it, he started making cabinets when he was 18 years old in his dad's garage and built a business around it and grew in the early 80s. It grew to having 14 employees. He was really doing the business. But then, of course, if you were around back in the early 80s, everybody kind of remembers what the market did, right? Kind of tanked, you know, sky high interest rates, and he did all he could to put everything he could in the business, try to keep his employees. Many of his employees he built up and trained. They came in knowing nothing. They were working for him for years, and they knew a lot. They had the skills, they had the tools, they had the knowledge to build cabinets and design kitchens. And because the market kind of crashed, they all ended up leaving and starting their own companies. Now, to my dad, I know later on in life, I asked my dad. I said, "What did that do to you? I can't imagine. You know, you have these employees that you trained and built up, and then all of a sudden they because hard times happened, he was taking out business loans to try just to pay them. They were just sweeping up the shop, cleaning the shop, really not doing anything productive, and he was paying them as long as he could until He was just so far in debt, had to let them go. He said, you know what? He said, I kept that in my heart for a long time. But he said, you know what? The day I decided that I wasn't going to let it affect me anymore, the day I decided to just forgive them and say, you know what? This is God's plan. I don't know why he affected me like this, but you know what? This is God's plan. I'm just going to let it happen. When he decided to forgive, that's when things changed in his life. Faith is the realization that love is more powerful than bitterness. I need to speak to that tree and have the faith in knowing that charity, number two, charity is more liberating than justice. And that's a hard one, isn't it? That's a hard one. The sycamore tree says, you need to have your day in court. I want justice. I demand that this wrong be right. And when I read God's word, I see story after story after story of people who were wronged, but never got to see their day in court. Never got to see the justice that they deserved. In the life of Joseph, right? Joseph, you know, he could stand up here and tell you all about what his brothers did. Put him in a pit, left him for dead, decided then to just sell him into slavery, made up a lie, took his coat of many colors shredded it, put some animal blood with it, and disappointed his dad and broke his dad's heart. Oh, I bet Joseph could come up here and tell a lot of people a lot of bad stories about how terrible his brothers were to him. Not only that, you got Potiphar's wife, right? He, you know, finally worked up his way and in Potiphar's household, and the wife just does an amazingly crazy thing and a terrible thing of trying to catch him in fornication and took his coat and blamed him for something that he didn't do, and he ended up in prison for it, right? Oh, wow. I bet he has a lot to say about her. Joseph never got his day in court. Even after the butler and the baker were in prison with him, and he has a dream and tells how the baker, well, I'm sorry, man, your days are numbered here, but tells the butler that, hey, you're going to get restored. Your job is going to be restored with the king. And when that happens, hey, let him know that I'm in here. Get me out of here too. Remember me. Oh, but you know what? Left him in there to rot until one day. Eventually, he got out, but unfortunately, he never got his day in court. He never had the justice that he deserved. Many times, that sycamine tree says, I need justice, but faith says, no, you don't. And if we're waiting for justice to reconcile something in our heart so we can feel contentment, guess what? You will never feel the joy and peace the Lord can sustain you with. The Lord said, you know what? That feeling of content, that joy and peace that passes all understanding doesn't come necessarily with justice. It comes in with peace and joy in your heart. Joseph never received justice. He received something more powerful. He got the blessing of God. The sycamine tree says, you need justice, but faith says, I may not get my day in court, but I would rather enjoy the blessing of God. Faith says, love is more powerful than bitterness. Faith says, charity is more liberating than justice. Number three, faith says, fairness is not as enriching as blessedness. In Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 9:11, says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. You say, what does that mean, Brother Nelson? You know what? Sometimes the fastest person doesn't win the race. Do you know that? Sometimes it's not the strongest that is holding up the trophy there on the box. Sometimes by time and chance, even political races can run rampant with fraud, and it's not the candidate that you voted for that is in the office. Sometimes it's the skilled, the wise, knowledgeable person that lives a financially poor and meager lifestyle. But they find God's blessing far outweighs whatever the world can offer. And they find out that the blessings of God far outweigh what they justly deserve financially. Sometimes it's not someone else who has been unfair or life that's been unfair, But what happens when major upsets and major turmoils happen in our life and they take place and you look to God and say, you know what, God? This is your fault. God, you haven't been fair to me. Oh, that's a dark place, right? You say, I've been living right. I tithe. I read my Bible. I go to church. And I do all the things that I can do at the best of my ability. I obey your word. I help the poor. I give alms. I help in the church. I do everything that's expected of a good Christian. And yet this thing happened in my life. And you haven't been fair to me. That was Job. Right? Job, righteous, upright. Job. The servants came one by one. Camels, gone. Cattle, gone. And the first, Job said, at first he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But after some time, for that sycamine tree to start growing and fruiting in Job's life, soon it was, you took my 10 children. You took my wealth. You took my health. You took everything away from me. And for what? It was just, I was just and I deserve justice from you, God. Has God ever been a source of internal bitterness in your life? Has he ever been the source of an eternal bitterness that says, you know what? I don't know why you brought this thing in my life. And maybe you started out with a smile and with some faith and saying, you know what? We're going to just power through this. But then your strength started to fail. And you had to look to God and say, you know what? Why is this even happening to me? Why did this thing happen in my life? You know, not everyone with bitterness towards God quits church. They keep on keeping on by tamping down the feeling and continue to on going through the motions. And because we don't really want a total disconnect with God because that's just too scary. But there's the tree of bitterness continually dropping its fruit. Uproot that tree because just like Job, we will come to find that the blessedness of God outweighs fairness. Blessedness will always outweigh fairness. Speak to that sycamine tree with faith, believing that God's divine purpose, which allowed the offense, is more important than avenging the offense. Let me say that again. God's divine purpose, which allowed the offense, is more important than avenging the offense. The sycamine fruit calls for justice, while the mustard seed faith, when planted, calls for God's divine purpose to be done in your life. That's the faith. That mustard seed faith to be planted in the sycamine tree has to be uprooted and cast in the sea. Notice it says uprooted. It roots in everything. It has to go and be cast in the into the sea. That way, the ground is ready for that mustard seed faith to grow. We shout amen when we recite Romans 8:28, and it says, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Except when we hit that rough patch in life where you say there's nothing good that can come from this. You can say, and all things work together for good until it's you that gets cancer, until it's your loved one that passes away, until it's the child that you are supposed to die and be buried way before them, that child passes away. That's when we start thinking, is this Romans 8:28, is that even real? We know all things work together. How can anything good come from this situation? Speak to the sycamine tree with faith, believing that I will experience more joy by unrooting and uprooting the sycamine tree rather than eating the fruit of it. It's a bitter fruit. Some have described it as a fruit that it starts out somewhat sweet, but as you eat it, your stomach kind of turns, and it turns bitter when swallowed. I don't know about you, but I like being right. You know, my wife knows this about me. I love being right, and so I try to be right about 99% of the time. And you know, especially when I have all the facts right, when I have all the data and the evidence and the proof that I can totally show how right I am, and that fruit is sweet, right? It just a couple months ago, we were in Hobby Lobby, of course, right? And that's where all men shouldn't be. But we were there. I was a good husband. I was there pushing the cart and just nodding my head. Oh, that looks nice. Uh-huh, uh-huh. And so we were in Hobby Lobby, and there was someone that that she thought she recognized, and I said, no, that's not her. That's not her. And it was, of course, during the time of the pandemic with the masks, and I thought, no, that's not her. And I said, I bet you, and when we bet each other, I'll say something absurd like $100. You know, I'll bet you $100 that's not her. And if I won, I was going to buy something ridiculous, right? I was going to buy this fur ottoman that would look terrible in our house and do something like that. But no, we just do it in jest. But it ended up being the lady that I didn't think it was. But I like being right. And if you have a debate with someone and you're not able to convince them of the truth, you start rehearsing illustrations and analogies and that will better prove how right you are. And the next time you see them, you're going to give them all of what, you know, about your argument and everything that you studied. Does that sound familiar, married couples, right? Married couples, we like to be right, don't we? And we like to make sure that we're always the one being right on a debate. We're gonna call it a debate, right? The next time you see them, you know, you're gonna give them all the facts. But you spend all this time growing a bitter tree rather than experience the joy of the Lord and true forgiveness over a situation and an outcome that God has already planned for. You need to get rid of that tree, get rid of it, cast it in the sea as if it had never been, and plant that mustard seed of faith in its place. Faith in what? The faith that love is more powerful than bitterness. The faith that charity is more liberating than justice. The faith that fairness is not as enriching as blessedness. The faith that God's divine purpose is more important than avenging the offense. We need to stop eating that bitter fruit of the sycamine tree and uproot it. Get it away from us and cast it out. Now, in Matthew, and now notice that the title of the sermon was Speak to the Trees. So there's another tree I want to introduce to you tonight. Over in Matthew chapter 21. If you want to turn there, you can. Matthew chapter 21. In verse 12. God talks of another tree here we need to be careful of and get rid of. This is a deceitful tree because you think it's going to give you fruit, but it never does. It just needs to wither up and die. Matthew chapter 21, verse 12, it says, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all of them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Now, these, of course, were not true obedient sacrifices that were allowed. These were people that were profiting in the temple. They were selling their own sacrifices. You know, of course, you know that the sacrifices that they were supposed to have were supposed to be watched for a certain number of days, make sure it was spotless, make sure it was right. And they were supposed to bring their offering to the Passover. They were not supposed to buy it there. But in verse 13 it says, and said unto them, it is written, in my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple, and saying, Hosanna, the son of David, they were sore displeased. That's, you know, religious men here. We got people getting healed. We have children crying out, Hosanna to the Savior. And they were displeased. Well, that's unfortunate. Moving on here. I mean, standing there was Christ doing miracles, and it displeased them. That's in 2 Timothy 3, it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You know, it says, from such turn away. Verse 16, and said unto him, hearest thou what they say? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have ye never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? And he left them, and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. So we have a continuance of the story here. He was just in the temple. He just healed the sick and made the lame walk again. He did a lot of miracles in the temple there. And now he has left them. And now in the morning, verse 18, now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is this fig tree withered away? Now, this Jesus said, this tree cannot satisfy my hunger. this tree that was supposed to be in season, this tree that had a lot of green leaves, this fig tree was green and full of leaves, and it was the appropriate time to bear fruit, but no fruit was there to be had. And it wasn't there to be eaten, just like the temple, the day that had a lot of religiosity happening, had a lot of religious things going on, and with the performance of sacrifices. There's a lot of religious things that were happening in the temple. It was a very green tree, right? But there was no fruit. It wasn't until Jesus came that the lame were healed. It wasn't until Jesus came that the blind eyes were restored. Christ is saying, beware of the tree that promises what it will never give you. Beware of the tree that promises financial gain. Oh, beware of that tree. But takes you away from the faith in Christ that He will take care of you. You know, God said that He would take care of us. He said He would clothe us, He would feed us, He would do all those things. But many times, we don't believe that, right? We approach the Bible as a salad bar. We take what we want here. We take what we want here. I don't want that. I can handle the finances, God. I can handle that. I'll just handle the finances, and then one day we get a really good job dangled in front of us, and we go after that job, and it ends up we spend our time and our life and sacrifice our family and sacrifice church and sacrifice a bunch of things to find out at the end of our life that it was worth nothing. It's a green tree that promised some things. It was a green tree that had no fruit to be eaten. Christ said, beware the promises that will never give you on that tree. Beware the tree that promises financial gain but takes you away from the faith. Beware the tree that has that form of godliness but has no substance. It will wither and die. You can't keep up appearances forever. One day, the trying fires of life will come and just burn down parts of your life. There will be a time when you've built up your wood, hay, and stubble, and God will take a fire will happen in your life and burn all that stuff down. And the only thing that we will all see is the gold, silver, and precious stones, along with the ashes of the hay, wood, and stubble. Beware of that green tree. You'll end up putting faith in a tree that looks like it will satisfy your hunger, but it never does. So today, I just want to leave you with just these thoughts here. Knowing love is more powerful than bitterness. Charity is more liberating than justice. Fairness is not as enriching as blessedness. And God's divine purpose is more important than avenging our offenses. And that other tree. Remember that other tree. The green tree that is all leafy and looks like it should bear fruit and it never does. Don't put your trust in that tree. That tree just to wither up and die. Let's pray. Dear Lord, again, we thank you for today. Lord, so many times there's things that can happen and trials in our life that can happen that really expose us for the type of Christian that we are. We like to put on a front. We like to put on a veneer of religiosity. Or we like to put a veneer of everything's okay. But in our hearts, there are roots and deep roots of bitterness. Lord, there can be roots of a tree that is nice and green, Lord, that we put all of our trust in, thinking that it's going to feed us, but it doesn't. Oh God, may we tell these trees to just be removed. Lord, help us to remove these trees from our hearts. Lord, we love you.